Well, we have been talking for 4 weeks now. We usually typically do series, and we've been in a series which I've entitled By the Direction of the Lord from the beginning of the year. Let's get a little feedback there, Josh. Called The Days of Glory. Now, I want to preface before we read the scripture this morning of something that the Lord gave me on December the 4th, which was a Wednesday, at 4:31 a.m. Now, I've been talking about this for a couple of weeks, but I woke up, you know, at 4:31 a.m. How do you know? I was looking at my clock right there, my phone, actually. And I heard the Lord speak to my spirit. I don't mean I heard him in an audible voice, but I heard it in my spirit. And, you know, after walking with the Lord for almost 40 years now, you know, you learn to home in on what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. Amen. Now, I wasn't praying for a word for the year. I wasn't even asking him for a word for the year, but this came to me as soon as I woke up. It came across my spirit. I wrote it down, and here's what he said. In fact, this is what we're talking about here as we're just into the first month of the year. Holy Spirit said this to me. I wrote it down. I said, the days of the glory days are coming in 2025. Then he said, the glory of God is always a manifestation of his goodness. Let me say it to you again. He said, the glory days are coming in 2025, and the glory of God is always a manifestation of his goodness. And then he said, he instructed me to declare it every day this coming year in 2025. Amen. Now, I knew when the Lord instructed me to do that, I knew within the inward witness that he wanted me to share that with everybody here. Amen. Now, we're talking about what does that exactly mean, the glory days. Amen. Now, anytime you see the glory of God manifested in the Bible, you see something happen. Something happens physically. For example, at the tomb of Lazarus, you know, they saw the glory of God when he was raised from the dead. Jesus even said, did not I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Referring to Lazarus. Remember that? He was dead for 4 days, right? And the Lord, of course, raised him up. But what I want to emphasize is this, that when the glory of this, when I say it like this, I declare, I decree the glory of God and the goodness of God in my life this year. How many of you have been doing that? Amen. Man, get busy doing it. Praise the Lord. If God gives us a word, we act on that. We begin to declare it. And actually, that's how we sign the package, so to speak, as we declare it. We speak it forth. Every promise of God has to be declared. It has to be spoken out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we saw that referring to Moses, you know, when he was up on the Mount Sinai, you know, if you ever saw the Ten Commandments. And, you know, and Moses is up there and he's, I don't want to see a cloud. I just want to see you. And God says, show me your glory, Moses said. And God spoke to him and said, I will cause all my goodness to pass before you. Amen. And so notice the connection between the glory of God and the goodness of God. Anytime that you have an answer to prayer, that's a manifestation of the glory of God. Anytime there's a physical healing or a provisional need that's met, that's a manifestation of the glory of God. Amen. And I've seen an increase in my life over the last, what's today? What is today? 26. And I started declaring this in December. I've been seeing an increase in the glory of God, manifestation in my life. And we're just getting started. Amen. I'll tell you, God wants to do good things for his kids this year. Amen. Do you know God has no favorite kids? He loves us all with the same exact love. He really does. He doesn't show favoritism. He loves all of his children with the exact same intensity. Amen? Praise God. You know, I was asking, this is a little beside the point here. I was asking the Lord about a week and a half ago, and I asked him, I said, Lord, give me a greater revelation of your love for me. Amen. I said, I'm thankful for what I do know and what I've meditated on, the scriptures that I do know. But I just have this feel like there's more depths to this. Show me. Show me. Give me a greater manifest. Give me an understanding of your love for me. Amen. And, you know, and he began to show me something. And this is beside the point, but I'll just throw it out there. Holy Spirit spoke to me. He says, he goes, go to the book of 1 John and read 1 John. There's five chapters. Okay. 1 John, that's the epistle, right? John had a revelation of Jesus' love for him. In fact, in the Gospel of John, he refers five times, listen to this, five times in his Gospel, you know, Big John, right? And he refers to himself in his letter, his Gospel, to the disciple whom Jesus loved. He's writing about himself. Okay? Now, it's not that Jesus loved him more than the other disciples. He did. But John had a revelation of his love. Amen? And the Lord said, in my spirit, he just showed me, he says, just meditate, because that is the epistle of God's love. We, you know, it says, we perfect love. It's in 1 John. Perfect love or knowledge of his love will eliminate fear. When you know how much God loves you, it'll alleviate fear. Fear of being abandoned, fear of being left alone, fear of being left out. That's fear, right? But when we know how much he loves us, how much he cares for us, amen. And I saw something else a couple days later. Do you mind if I share that with you? Just come back next week, I'll share it with you. But anyway, I'm just playing with you. But Jesus, the Lord showed me, he said, Keith, who was the disciple that was at the cross when Jesus was being crucified? The only one that was there was what? John. Who was he with? Mary. Okay? And yeah, that took some guts to be there. You don't see the other disciples there, but he's there. Knowing full well he could be the next one on that cross because of that persecution, right? And what did Jesus say when he, in his dying moments, right before he gave up the ghost? He looked to, in the Gospel of John, he looked to the Apostle John. He says, take care of my mother. Basically, I'm translating what he said. Take care of her. Wow. Amen. Now, at this point, most Bible scholars believe that Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, wasn't his heavenly father, but his earthly father was already gone. He passed away. Because otherwise he would have been there, right? So you have Mary there, and John is being instructed by Jesus to take care of Mary, right? Now, I believe, now, being human, you're going to ask questions. He spent time with Mary. I'm sure that he asked her about the virgin birth. How did that take place? Refresh my memory. Show me, okay? So John, you know, it's interesting because you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, the synoptic gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They have a lot of similar accounts. But then you come to John. That's all by itself in the sense because he has accounts in there that the others don't have. Okay? And so John had things, and he emphasized the Son of God where the others emphasized the Son of Man. Okay? There's more in the Gospel of John about Jesus being the Son of God, in other words, his deity, compared to his humanity. Okay? So, you know, John had a relationship with Mary, and there was a closeness there, but John had a revelation of how much God loved him. And so I began to cry. I said, Lord, give me a greater revelation. I'm thankful for what I do know. I believe that he loves me unconditionally, just like you. Amen. But, you know, sometimes you can know things up here, but not really know things in here. Okay? So I said, Lord, show me. He said, it's in the First John. He goes, if you read that, just read it through. I underline every place we're talked about love. Okay? We love him because he first loved us, right? There's so much in the Gospel of John, or First John. So I wanted to throw that out there to you. But the glory days are coming in 2025. We're already in that right now. But the way that we talked about how to release this, but just by saying, Lord, thank you. I declare, I decree, praise the Lord, that the glory days are coming to my house. Amen. How many of you would like to see some change in your household? For the good, right? You want to see change in your body? You want to see change in your family? Your finances? You know, relationships. I mean, the list goes on. the glory of God is going to invade our families, and that's a good thing in 2025. Things that were as stubborn as anything you can imagine, like they're never going to change, God's going to change. He's going to change hearts. He's going to change your body. Praise the Lord. Don't ever let the doctor give his final say on your situation that you're incurable. There's no cure for you. They're not God. Amen. Matter of fact, everything in the natural is subject to change. Everything. Now, sometimes people and doctors will say that's permanent, that's never going to change. Well, listen, if it's natural, it's subject to change. Well, you got a scripture for that? Yeah, I do. Corinthians says, for that which is seen is temporal. That which is not seen is eternal. The word of God is eternal. It never changes. But the natural is subject to change. Your body is subject to change. Right? Your bank account is subject to change. Your relationships are subject to change. Now, I know sometimes we get to looking at the clock, we look at the calendar, we think, man, it hasn't changed in all these years. What makes me think it's going to change now? That's why we have to have our hope in God. See, our faith is not what we can do, it's what He can do. That's how big God is. Amen? Praise the Lord. Strong faith isn't just like, you know, going to the gym and working out and you got strong faith. You know what I'm saying? But strong faith comes by your relationship with God, because you realize He's the one that does these things. He's a big God, and He's the one that will do these things for us. Amen? Now, last week, we began to talk in Matthew chapter 11. I just want to review a little bit before we get into today's message here. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 9, it says, and he's referring here to John the Baptist, What went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger to thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Who's he talking about? John the Baptist, right? Who was also the cousin of Jesus. Now look at what verse 11, Jesus said this, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there is hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, now a standing, or however, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now what's that mean? We talked about this last week, and I just want to refer to this because of time. You can actually go back on our website, you know, and you can listen to these messages. They're on there already. You can download them and listen to them. But for years I didn't understand what this meant, because he said of all the prophets, we know about Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and all the minor and major prophets that prophesied about the coming of Christ. But John the Baptist was actually present when he prophesied about Jesus. He was actually there physically. He handled him. He baptized him. He saw him. He spoke to him. He handled him, the words of life, where the other prophets were not there. Okay? Isaiah wasn't there. Jeremiah wasn't there. Ezekiel wasn't there. Right? Michael wasn't there, all the major and minor prophets, you know. They weren't there, but they prophesied about Jesus. And yet Jesus said this regarding John the Baptist. He said, there's not risen a greater than John the Baptist. But then he makes this statement, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And so for years I didn't understand this until the Holy Spirit showed me what he's talking about here. Because what's the common denominator for Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, or the prophets? They're Old Testament. In fact, John the Baptist was still operating in the Old Testament. The New Covenant, the New Testament, did not begin until Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and that's when the New Covenant began. So the common denominator, even though they prophesied about Christ, you know, in the Old Testament, was none of them were born again. They did not have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. But the Holy Spirit would come upon three individuals, the prophet, the priest, and the king. He would anoint them for service, right? And they did things for the Lord. However, none of them were born again. They didn't have, what's that mean? That means God wasn't living inside them, okay? And that's why Jesus said, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven or born again is greater than John the Baptist. Amen? Go to Luke chapter 17 real quick here, and we'll look at this scripture once again. In Luke 17 and verse 20. And it says this, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, or in other words, you can't look out and see it. He says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, notice this in verse 21, the kingdom of God is within you. Okay? And so they're saying, Lord, show us the kingdom. He said, you're not going to have to look here, right, left, up, down. He says, the kingdom of God, when it comes, will be within you. Okay? Now, so everybody say kingdom. Okay. What does that mean? Well, if you divide the word, it means a place of a king's domain, a king's dome, kingdom, king's domain. Okay? And so you have a king over a kingdom, right? So when in the New Testament, which we live, I'm so thankful that we're in the new covenant. Oh, thank God. We have a better covenant, Hebrews 9, 6, right? We have a better, 8:6, I'm sorry. Hebrews 8:6 says, we have a better covenant established upon better promises. Amen? And so in our covenant, you know, we don't just have forgiveness of sins, but God comes to take up residence on the inside of us. That's the kingdom. Amen? So the king now has transferred. You know, you'll notice that when Jesus Christ was on the cross being crucified, that the veil of the temple was ripped from top to bottom. That was a big, thick curtain, 4 inches thick. Amen. 40 feet long, 20 feet high, as Josephus, the Jewish historian, said. And that, you know, that was separated the common people from the presence of God. It said it was ripped, torn from top to bottom. And the presence of God left that because now he's not going to live in a box. He's not going to live in a man-made tabernacle. He's going to live in human beings such as you and I. So when we got born again, what's that mean? That means you asked Jesus to come into your life, forgive you of your sins. Okay? It's just that simple. Jesus did that for us. All we have to do is receive it. Amen? You can't work for your salvation. You don't earn your salvation. You don't graduate after doing so many good things. And God says, now you're saved. Because it's not by our works that we're saved. It's by the blood of Jesus. He died for us in our place. He went to hell for us. He paid the price for us. Amen? If it was our good deeds that guaranteed our salvation, then why did Jesus come? He wasted his time. Because I was brought up to believe, you know, that I was taught that from an early age, it's your good deeds that get you into heaven. When was I wrong? Till somebody showed me in Ephesians chapter 2, it's for you're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Amen? And that was my journey. That's where it started when I was 16 years old and invited Jesus into my heart because I needed a Savior. We all do. Amen? Nobody's good enough on their own to get into heaven. We need a Savior. Every person has sinned. Every person has fallen short of the glory of God. So notice that Jesus said, when the kingdom of God comes, you're not going to have to look over here. The kingdom of God is within you. Amen? So when you receive Christ, you got born again. What happened is God took up residence on the inside of you. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul talks about it three different times in Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, that your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's where the kingdom lives. That's where the kingdom is, inside your spirit. Amen. So I wanted to share some of those things that we talked about last week. Hallelujah. Now let's go over to Mark's Gospel chapter 16 this morning. We're going to pick up this morning. Now, let me preface it by saying this. There are certain things in the kingdom of God that we can do that will attract his power and his presence to us. Amen. Just like in the natural, there are certain things that people can do to attract demons and evil spirits. Isn't that true? Right? There's people that do evil things that attract evil spirits, just like blood will attract sharks in water. But on the flip side of that, there are things that we can do in the kingdom of God that will cause God to show up big time in our lives. And that's what we're going to talk about here today. So in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, look at verse 15. This is after Jesus Christ, his resurrection. It says, "And he appeared to his disciples, and he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Amen. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." It's just that simple. He goes on to say, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Say, "I'm a believer." He says, "In my name shall they," notice the first sign, "they shall cast out devils." Now, what does that mean? In simple terms, you could say it like this: in my name, you will have dominion and authority over demons and devils. Amen. Right? Notice the second: they shall speak with new tongues. Amen. That's another sign right there. Verse 18: they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, just to say this, God's not asking us to tempt him and go out and grab a snake. You know, he's not asking us to do that. But you'll find that the Apostle Paul was gathering sticks for a fire. Remember that when he was shipwrecked after they made it to land? He was gathering sticks and a viper came out, fastened itself upon him. And it was one of those kind of snakes that the people of that island knew, this kind of snake, if you get bit by it, you know, within a couple of minutes, you're dead. Okay? Paul, it says, he just shook it off in the fire. It bit him. It fastened. It was hanging on his arm, right? And but it didn't do him any harm. And they thought the people of that island thought, he must be a god. He didn't die. We've seen people die with that same snake. You know, he didn't die, so he must be a god. They began to worship him. Well, he had to wake them up and say, whoa, wait. You're not to worship me, right? So he must have had evidence of the fact that if you accidentally drink something poisonous or get bit by a snake, you can claim immunity. These are supernatural signs, right? He's not saying go out and have a snake handling church like in West Virginia. Okay? Do you know there are actual churches like that that think just to prove how spiritual they are? Have you ever seen videos of that? You don't want to go to that church. Let me tell you something, you know? And they get a pit of rattlesnakes, you know. It's just insane because they think, well, Jesus said you'll handle serpents, you know. All right, well, you're going to tempt God. And that's what they do. So anyway, let's move right along here. It says, they shall cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing by accident, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's a sign that should follow believers. All right, now, when Jesus, we saw this last week, he told his disciples, go into each city and declare to them the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, freely you have received, freely give. He said, make the declaration, the kingdom of God is here. Amen. Now, we see right here, let's pick up in verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. They saw that happen. They saw him he took off, right? Now, here's what I want to focus on in verse 20. And they went forth and they preached everywhere. The disciples, they went forth, preached everywhere. Now notice this, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen? That's what it says right there. Amen. Now here's what I want you to see here. That they went everywhere and they preached what? Tradition? No. They preached the word. What word? The word of God. The word of Christ. And when they preached the word of Christ, the Bible says that the Lord confirmed the word that they preached with signs following. He preached the word. Say, preach the word. Now, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy, he said, preach the word to Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said the time's going to come where people are not going to endure sound doctrine. They're going to want to just hear things that tickle their ears, right? That's true back then. It's true today as well. Amen? And that's why when we come to church, what do we get into? We don't get into Reader's Digest. We read the Bible. We read Scripture. Because that's how true faith is developed. Praise God. And but I want you to notice this, that they went everywhere and they preached the Word. In other words, the Word of God. And God confirmed the Word with signs following. Now, one of the other ways that God can confirm a Word to us is not just a sign and a wonder, but He can confirm something. For example, if I'm up here preaching and I'm saying something and I'm addressing something by the Lord, things I don't know that maybe you're going through, and all of a sudden I say something, it's like, oh yeah, that's exactly what I need right now. The Lord is showing you, He's confirming the Word right there. Amen? Like you hear a sermon, you hear a message, whether it's myself or somebody else, and you hear it, and it's like, that's exactly what I needed. Okay? So God's confirming to you. Now, go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And I want you to see something here about Jesus. So I'm laying the foundation here this morning. So there's certain things that we do, and I want to submit this to you. When we say or we preach and we speak what God says, God will back that up because it's not your word, it's His word. Amen? I'm so glad, even as a preacher, as a minister of the gospel, that I don't have to put pressure on myself because I can't do anything. I can't heal a person. I can't set a person free. And I know that. But I'm comfortable with that, but I know who can. Amen? And that's why we preach Jesus, because He's the one that can do these things. Thank you, Lord. Now, here's a portion of Scripture that I want you to see right here that I find very interesting. In John 3:34, for He whom God hath sent, who did He send? Jesus. For He whom God hath sent, notice this, speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Okay? Or in other words, without limitations. Are you with me? Now the Amplified says, for since He whom God sent speaks the words of God, proclaiming God's own message, God does not give him the Spirit sparingly, or notice this, by measure. All right? Now I saw this, and I've often referred to it, you know, we have the Spirit with measure, Jesus didn't, you know what I'm saying? And that's true. However, in context, what the Lord said right here through John, the reason that Jesus had the Spirit without measure, without limits, because He heard from God and He spoke what God said. Amen? It's getting a little warm in here, John. Praise the Lord. We talk about being delivered from hell, but we don't want to feel like, you know, heat. All right? Now I want you to see right here that if we want to have a move of God in our lives, an unmeasurable move of God in our lives, if we do what Jesus said, we're going to have the same type of results. Now notice this again in John 3:34. For He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. So what did Jesus do? He spoke the words of God. For God giveth him not the Spirit by measure unto him. Measure just means a limit. He didn't give it to him by limit or limitations. Amen? And so you see it from this light right here, that when we speak what God says, there's an unlimited measure of the Spirit that's available to us. Amen? So we put the pressure on the Word. Now remember there in Mark's Gospel 16, Jesus said they went everywhere and they preached the Lord, confirming the what? Word with what? Signs following. Okay? You know, He's not obligated to confirm every word if it's not from Him. Amen? That's why Paul told Timothy, he says, preach the Word. Don't preach tradition. Preach the Word of God. Just right from the Word of God. Because the Word produces the faith, and it makes the atmosphere pregnant, if you will, with the power of God to be able to do miracles. Amen? And I've seen that happen through the years, over the last 40 plus years, of just taking the Word to people without any special feeling, without any goosebump. You know what I mean? Just take the Word of God, and you go to someone and say, you know, well, the Bible says you're dealing with this situation. Here's what the Scripture says about that. And some of the most powerful miracles I've seen through the years, like deaf ears being unstopped, miracles that took place, came when I didn't have any feeling whatsoever. No special feeling, you know. We think, you know, we automatically assume when God's going to move, man, we get this rush up our spine, you know, like, oh, I can really feel God, you know. Now, that can happen. But God wants to honor His Word. And it just goes to show you, you're not the healer. He's the healer. Amen. So, we just look to the Word. We look to the Word of God. Amen? Now, let's go to Luke's Gospel chapter 1 real quick here. Luke's Gospel chapter 1. And what I want to emphasize to you, we're talking about walking in the glory of God in these last days, in the presence of God. And one of the most powerful things we can do is to say what God says. Amen. To declare what He says, His Word. Some of the greatest miracles will take place when we just do what He says. Praise God. You know, after you stop and think about it, when the devil attacked Jesus, we have it in the Gospels, right? And he was in the wilderness, and he was tempted by the devil. You remember that story? Okay, and he came with three different temptations. And every one of those temptations were valid temptations. What did Jesus use to combat the devil? He used the Word. He used the Bible. Scripture. Which at this point was all Old Testament, because the New Testament hadn't been written yet. So he's quoting out of Deuteronomy, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You shall not tempt the Lord your God, right? He's quoting Scripture. But you'll notice that when Jesus said, it is written, he took the logos and made it a rhema. Rhema means, it's the Greek word for spoken word. Spoken word. The logos is the written word. So he took the logos, the written word, and he spoke it out. It became rhema. And guess what? The devil left him for a season. Amen? And he said three times, it is written. It is written. It is written. Amen. You say, well, that's Jesus, you know? Well, Jesus is not saying, I'm in a class all by myself. Don't try this at home. He's not saying that. He's showing us how to operate in the realm of the spirit, but also in the realm of the natural. And there's something that said, and we're going to see this a little bit further here, that when we say what God says and speak what God says, the devil has to back off, just like he backed off to Jesus. Amen. Now, we see this situation here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And let's look at verse 39. Now, we just got through with Christmas holiday, and a lot of times we read these scriptures during Christmas and so forth. But let's not get too religious here. Let's look at it from this viewpoint right here. And Mary arose in those days, and she went to the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Now, she's pregnant with John the Baptist at this point, right? Mary had just conceived, okay? And it came to pass, verse 41, that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, notice this, the babe leaped in her womb. Now, wait a second. A baby responded to something she said. Amen? An unborn child responded to words. Amen? And it says, and it came to pass, Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice. She wasn't quiet about it. She's actually prophesying. She said, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. From whence is to me, and the mother of thy Lord should come unto me. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now, isn't that amazing? An unborn child, John the Baptist, leaped in the womb of Elizabeth. And we know that John the Baptist came, before Jesus Christ, right? But they were cousins in the flesh, right? But I wanted to bring this out to you because when the Lord is speaking, there's a leaping that will take place on the inside of you. Right? There's just like, yes, yes, your spirit will leap. Have you ever had that happen to you before? You hear a sermon or a message or something said, and you're like, yeah, that's it. That's the Lord showing you that you're hearing the right stuff. Amen? Elizabeth wasn't religious. She said, oh, blessed are you among women. And she didn't get all religious. She was enthusiastic. It's okay to get enthusiastic in the presence of God, right? Especially at church, because I grew up to believe that everything that was godly was real quiet, real, you don't do anything. You know what I'm saying? But let me tell you something. When that man was healed in the book of Acts, that was lame from his mother's womb, and Peter and John looked on him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. Amen. He went into the temple walking and leaping and praising God. I suppose I would too. If I was lame from my mother's womb and I started to walk in my 40s or whatever, oh my goodness, I wouldn't be like, the Lord healed me today. Blessed be his name. See, that's what religion just puts a big wet blanket on people, you know? Amen? Now, like one preacher said years ago, he says, I would rather have a little wildfire than no fire at all, than to have the order of a graveyard. Are you with me now? There's nothing wrong with being enthusiastic, excited about the Lord. After all, he's God. He's God, right? And so the kingdom of God is now within us, the Bible says. It's not over there. It's not over here. Jesus said when the kingdom of God comes, it resides on the inside of you. Amen. So when we got born again, the kingdom moved on the inside of us. The king, his domain. Now, resides on the inside of us. And I don't know about you, but that helps me when I face adversity and I face situations in this life like we all do, right? There's no shortage of that. Amen? We got issues that we deal with like you do. But you know, it just helps so much when you realize the God of the universe took up residence inside me when I received Christ. And he's never left yet. Remember I said last week I had the Holy Spirit talked to me, and I always write it down now. You know what I mean? I write it down. I keep an archive of everything he says to me, right? And he said, even in your darkest moment, he goes, I was always there. I never left you. Even though it might have felt like it, it might have felt like God's a million miles away, but he's not. He's right there. The Bible says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And his name is Jesus. Praise God. That means he's here now. Now, when you leave here today and you leave church, God doesn't stay here. He goes right with you. Why? Because he's on the inside of you. And when you face adversity and you face challenges in this life, okay, knowing and recognizing and acknowledging that he's in there will help you get over any inadequacy in the flesh. Praise God. There's no such thing as impossible to God, except one thing. It's impossible for God to lie. It says that's the only thing he's impossible to do. But with God, all things are possible. The scripture says, to him that believeth, all things are possible. Say, I believe.
I believe.
Therefore, all things are possible. Amen. Now, to man, it may not be possible. To the natural, it may not be possible. To the doctor's report, it may be impossible. But with God, it's not impossible. Hallelujah. Like I said last week, you can preach yourself out of any problem. Do you know that? Man, I'm telling you, some of the best sermons I ever heard when I was preaching to myself. Nobody else was there. Well, how do you do that? You just step out by faith in your car by yourself. No one's going to point the finger at you and say, that's not real good. You just keep at it. Amen? So we're talking about this part here that when Mary, or when Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, heard her salutation, she felt the baby leap inside of her. Whoa. So joy came. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, even in his mother's womb. Amen? So when words are spoken that are from God, there's going to be a leaping on the inside of you. You'll grab on. Amen? Now we see this, and I'll just refer to it, but in Acts chapter 14, you see there was a man that was lame, that hadn't walked before. And he happened to be in the service where Paul was preaching the gospel. And the Bible says that Paul perceived that the man had faith to be healed, but he wasn't healed yet. And he said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And the man leaped up and walked. But notice that Paul perceived that the man had faith to be healed, but he was still crippled. Right? He had a spiritual perception that he was grabbing on. He wasn't sitting there in the congregation looking at his watch or sundial back then, yawning, not paying attention, but listening, get focused. The devil always tries to distract, especially in church. He'll try to distract you, right? And there's enough things out there that can try to distract us, but man, if we just focus on that time, that hour that we're here, praise the Lord, God can do so much for us. Amen. And so, you know, verse 44 again says, for lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, in other words, as soon as I heard your words, the babe leaped to my womb for joy. Now verse 45 says, and blessed is he that believe, that's Mary, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her of the Lord. Amen. Now Mary, you know, when the angel came to her, when Gabriel came to her and said, you're going to have a child, but it's not going to be through a man, she said, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? The Savior had to be born not through a human seed, because the seed comes from the man. That's the virgin birth, right? And sinless, Jesus. And she said this, be it unto me. Don't you love that? She said, be it unto me according to thy word. And then the angel departed from her. What happened? She conceived right there. Amen? So she received the word. Amen? Let's go to Daniel chapter 10 in the Old Testament real quick here. There's two more scriptures I want to look at and we'll close here today. In Daniel chapter 10, and we're talking about the power of the spoken word is what brings the glory of God. The Lord went with them. They can preach the word in Mark 16, the Lord confirming the word with signs following. And so the word of the Lord. Say the word of the Lord. Amen. See, when I go to a church service of somebody else, I just want to hear the word. Give me the word of God. Praise the Lord. I want to hear some Bible. Amen. Because that's the part that brings faith into our hearts. Now, Daniel had a situation here where he had a vision and he was praying for the interpretation of the vision about the future of Israel. And there seemed to be a delay. And we'll pick up in verse 11. It's Daniel chapter 10, verse 11 says, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understanding words which I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee I am now sent. That's Gabriel. But when he had spoken the word unto me, I stood trembling. And he said unto me, now this is the angel speaking to Daniel. He said, fear not. God always comes with a fear not. When he speaks to us, he eliminates fear. Think about it for a minute. Over the last couple of days, what are the things that you've been dealing with that bring fear to you? Only you know. I'm not asking out loud or anything, but what are the things that you're dealing with that register fear on your behavior? Like, oh, what if? You know, fear, right? Well, the first thing that God will do is deal with that fear and say, wait a second, fear not. I'm right here. Okay? So when we see the presence of God active in our lives, that fear, because it's all fear always has to do with the unknowns, the what ifs. Well, somebody else went through that and they didn't make it. Right? So you got all these different fears. I've been down that road before myself. Okay? Amen? But when God shows up, when He shows up, and He will show up in your life because He loves you, when He shows up, first thing He's going to do is, sweetheart, you don't have to be afraid. I'm right here with you. Amen? Praise God. I remember back just a few short years ago when I, COVID came out and people were getting it right and left. Well, the devil attacked me with COVID, symptoms of COVID. And I mean, it got really intense, you know. And to the point where I had a hard time breathing. I mean, it was really bad. I wasn't, from the natural, I mean, the devil was saying, you're not going to make it. You know what I'm saying? And but I remember I went to the emergency room at the hospital. Don't you love those places? So sterile, the environment, you know. And I mean, to tell you, the doctor that I had, she was the meanest doctor I've ever had in my life. I'm telling you, she was irritated that I was even in there. I'm like, woman, if you knew how I felt, I'm thinking this, you know. She was so irritated that I was in there, you know, and she took it out on me. Well, you know, I didn't take it personally. I just said, okay, you know. She goes, you're going to have to wait in here for a little while, you know. And I was in this tiny little office room by myself. And it was one of the ugliest rooms I've ever seen. There's no pictures on the wall. It's just sterile environment, just, eh, you know. And the walls may not have been that thick because I could hear people in other rooms, and I heard people moaning and crying out, and like if they're on their last leg. You know what I'm saying? That's right, yeah, the family, they wouldn't let family members in there. And so, and I'm in there, I got a great fever, and I'm hard to breathe, the whole nine yards, you know what I'm saying? And I was in there for almost an hour by myself before anybody came back, like an hour. And then she came back in an hour later and said, there's nothing we can do for you, send me home. Oh, I just wasted an hour here, you know? But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Because I knew that there were people dying right and left. Probably in those rooms that I could hear. And I knew personally people that didn't make it. Okay? So I'm getting this fear at me, fear coming at me, you know. But all of a sudden in the middle of that fear, because I'm in this room by myself, waiting. And I thought, you know, Lord, I'm just going to have a conversation with you. At first, it was really hard to have a conversation with the Lord because all I could feel was fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I just began to plead my case. Now, I had other people praying for me. Some of y'all in the church were praying. And that seemed like 20 years ago now. And I said, Lord, I'm not ready to leave. I got a family that I love. I have a church that I love, and I do. And I said, I'm not satisfied yet. You said in your word with long life in Psalm 91, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. And I said, Lord, I'm letting you know right now, I am not satisfied. There's so much more. I want to help more people. I want to reach more people. I want to bless more people. I live for that. That's what gives me energy. Amen. And I pled my case. I said, no, Lord, I'm not satisfied yet. I'm not finished with my call yet. I'm not ready to go yet. Now, it would have been so easy to just lay down, so to speak, and just say, man, I feel terrible. You know what I'm saying? But I just fought my way through that, you know? And it was really from that moment forward, things began to amend. Okay? And I don't think I ever felt that bad. It was just horrible, right? But I'm up here today. alive and well? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I did have some people that, you know, we called them. We got out of the hospital. I called. Josh was driving me. He called Brother Dan. Brother Dan took authority in the name of Jesus. And there were some other people, I think, that were praying, I'm sure. And I felt so bad I couldn't even talk on the phone. You remember that, Dan? But he prayed and took authority, and I felt faith coming from him. I felt faith. And my spirit leaped. I was like, yeah, grab onto that. Even though I felt horrible, I was grabbing onto that. My spirit leaped because he was praying the word. He was taking authority. And I latched onto that. Okay? And I believe that was the beginning of it. Amen? Words. Now, he said, verse 12, wrapping this up, Daniel, fear not. He said, from the first day that you did set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, notice this, your words were heard, and I have come for your words. Wow. A carpenter has tools. A plumber has tools. An electrician has tools. Without those tools, they're limited. Even though they can fix it, they need tools to help them. Are you with me? And I submit this to you today in conclusion, that the number one tool that we have to work with us, to help us, is the Word of God, the spoken Word of God. The angel Gabriel that appeared to him, to Daniel, to give him the interpretation of the dream and the future of Israel, he said, Daniel, I heard your words. He said, and I've come for your words. Do you know we can do the same thing? We have to give God back something to work with. We give him our words. Amen? If we say, Father, your word says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against me in judgment thou shalt condemn, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God, in Isaiah 54:17. You just gave God something to work with. If there's no word in there, there's nothing to work with. Here's the final scripture. In Psalm 103, if you would go there. Psalms 103. So we're talking about days of glory. Hallelujah. Days of glory. Praise the Lord. Days of glory. And I said, we're going to see days of glory in our lives. Or the Old Testament says days of heaven on earth. That's what he told Israel. You have days of heaven on earth. All right, Psalm 103, verse 19 says, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and the king, his kingdom ruleth over all. Notice verse 20. It says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Do you see that? The angels hearken. It doesn't say they hearken unto God. They hearken unto the voice of his word. Can I ask you a simple question? Not a trick question. How many of you have a voice? You can speak, right? The Bible even tells us, in the book of Genesis, that God breathed into we made Adam's body, and then he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And man, the Bible says, man became a living soul. The Hebrew scholars, and I have books home that prove this, they actually said that it should be interpreted, when God created life into man, he made man another speaking spirit just like himself. Wow. You're not just a blob walking around, amen? You're made in the likeness and the image of God. God made us another speaking spirit. That's why we can communicate. The animals can't, but we can. We can communicate with one another. We can communicate with God. We can have a conversation. Why? Because we're made in his likeness and his image. But notice it says that they hearken to the voice of his word. Who's responsible for the voice of his word? That's us. So I want to leave you with this here today, because if we want to see increase in angelic activity, when we speak what God says, the angels are activated. We don't want to say things, nothing ever works for me. I'm a disaster waiting to happen, you know. People say negative things. Angels can't work with that. That's not the scripture, right? But when we give God the scripture and we say a verse, even one verse of scripture, Father, it is written in your word, and you claim it and you speak it out. By his stripes ye were healed in 1 Peter 2:24. Matthew 8:17, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. It was wrote by Isaiah the prophet. Amen. 3 John 2, beloved, I pray above all things that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Okay? God will take that word that you just spoke, activate his angels, and go to working on your behalf. When you say, Father, my God, Philippians 4:19, shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, the angels say, okay, let's go for it. Let's do it. Amen? Do you know, it doesn't frustrate. What frustrates God? You ever been frustrated before? Because you want something to work and it's not working. You're like, oh, this is frustrating. You know, what frustrates the grace of God is when we don't activate what's already been given to us. Amen? He's already was died, he was buried, he was resurrected, not for himself, but for us. There's a whole lot that Jesus did for us, not just to go to heaven, but while we're on this earth as well. Amen. Praise God. Did you learn something this morning? Amen. When Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business, you know, when he was a 12-year-old child, that's the first words he said. Recorded words. I must be, his parents were looking for him. Where'd he go? He said, I must be about my Father's business. The last words Jesus said was, it is finished. He finished the work that God gave him to do. Amen. And I submit this in closing here today, that let's get busy saying what God says, speaking what God says, get a scripture or two, and begin to declare those scriptures and watch the angels come and work on your behalf. For the angels of God are not on the unemployment line. They're waiting, ready to be activated through the power of the spoken word. But he needs a voice to do it. I've decided I'm going to be one of those voices. Amen. Speak what God says. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the word that you've given to us. That is your word, Father. We thank you for the quickening power of the Holy Spirit throughout this week, Lord, that we'll begin to speak words of life, words of blessing, words from heaven, your word, that will change the course of our lives and other people, Father. And so we thank you today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.